Hey, this is Jermaine Griggs, and welcome to this live event here that we're doing for the Jazz Intensive with James Rubel. It is 5 o'clock here on the West Coast, which means it should be 8 o'clock over there on the East Coast. Thank you guys for joining us. I see tons of people coming on the line as I speak. And tonight what we're going to do, we got James Rubel with us. Hopefully he's dialed in, and I'm going to ask him a couple of questions. We're going to discuss what we've been working on secretly for the last year, and I'll even open it up for you guys to ask him some questions. And as I look in the queue, it looks like we already have a good dozen questions. So let me explain how this interface works. This is a new interface, and if you hear my voice, you figured out that point. So that's great. Now, over to the left-hand side, if you click Ask a Question, that'll give you the opportunity to ask James a question. Now, I won't be able to get to all of them, and as he's talking, I'll sift through a few that are relevant. There's also a little chat link that accepts up to 50 people. So if you click there and enter a username, you can actually go into the chat and talk with other people that are listening right now. And, of course, if you find the web breaking up, you can always click on Listen In and choose the phone option. And we also have a Skype option now as well. So I am thrilled. I'm excited to have Mr. Rubel with us. It's been a long time. We first met back in 2006, late 2006, when he started working with us on the Jazz 101 project. And, you know, he blessed us back then, and that was early James. That was James going from college, studying for med school, pre-med James. Now, as many of you guys have noted in your comments on the video page, he's gone to another level. Now we're going to meet, you know, 5 years later, James, on this call tonight. And I'm going to ask him some questions, you know, how he got started with jazz and why jazz and why 20 years in this and what keeps him interested in it despite his goals, you know, and becoming a doctor and those things. And hopefully we'll find some insight. We'll also be talking about this new thing we've been working on, the Jazz Intensive Training Center, and why you should jump to be a part of that, and then we'll take some questions. So, Mr. Rubel, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for being on this call. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, and for all of you that have been following James, you know he's in med school, so that takes up a lot of time. So I even had to schedule with him this perfect time to get him on the call. He's been so busy studying for tests and this and that and all the things that they do. But without further ado, you know, we'll get started. I don't want to take for granted that everybody knows who James is. You know, if you've been with Hear and Play for a while, you've heard his story and you know who he is. But if you haven't, if you joined in the last 5 years, say, you probably haven't gotten the opportunity to meet James up close other than the video clips and things. So, you know, we'll jump right in. I want to ask you, James, for all those that don't know you from Jazz 101 or 201, why don't you talk a little bit about your upbringing as it relates to jazz and when you got started and what attracted you to this specific genre? I know you're in Aladdin too, but why? What attracted you to this specific genre, and what have you been up to lately?
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up actually playing classical piano, so like a lot of people, you know, I was fortunate enough to take some private lessons when I was young and do the Mozart and Beethoven and Bach thing for quite a while, until middle school, I'd say, 12 or 13, and sort of two things or three major things happened at that point for me musically. One of them was just getting exposure to jazz and discovering my dad's record collection. One of them was my dad passing away at that time, and one of them was just getting a little bit sick of having to play inside the box that classical music puts you in. You have to honor the composer. You have to play it in a certain style from that time period. You have to practice it the same way over and over and over and over again. So I started coming to jazz once I was starting to get a little bit dissatisfied and was looking for something new. And a friend of mine in middle school, I still remember him very well, he brought me Miles Davis's album Kind of Blue. and that's a landmark. That's a seminal album in the jazz world, and I would argue in the music world as a whole. And I had never really heard anything like it. So I was looking for more freedom, but I also liked the challenge and, you know, the reward that you got for working hard from learning to play music as well. And once I started listening to sort of how the piano was involved there and how amazing the chord sounded to me, how many notes you could put in between two hands and how beautiful a ballad was. I mean, it was just an entirely new style with so many genres within it as well, and even more so nowadays, really. So it was a sort of a combination of those things, and I went with it and ran. And started taking some lessons. It took me quite a while to be happy with anything that I played just because it was an improvisational music to learn. You know, there's some stuff on the page, but not a lot. And we'll talk a little bit later about what I've done to make sure that process is not lengthy for you guys. And so it's as easy and efficient as it can be and not frustrating. And I actually switched high schools to a performing arts high school my sophomore year. That's well known in the Southern California area. And that's when I really got nurtured. That was more 14 or 15. I spent some time in Pittsburgh at 15. Pittsburgh is quite a big jazz city historically, and attended a summer program and spent 6 weeks basically living, breathing, and eating jazz. And that's sort of when I would say that I more or less made a full switch to that, while not forgetting how to approach the instrument and respect it and some of the things I talk about here and there and in the earlier DVD series. I just loved the freedom that jazz afforded me and all the different ways that I could express myself, whether it was being energetic or whether it was being brooding. You could do it alone. You could play, you know, with groups. There was just so much more variety for me. And so that's really what it was that got me into jazz at that time.
Wow. And one of the key things that you keep going back to is freedom, which we all know is very characteristic of jazz and improvising. And, you know, there's a lot of schools of thought out there that kind of imply that classical is the only way, or you should go through that. Even if you want to play by ear, you should learn how to read, or, you know, go through classical pedagogy and, you know, that kind of stuff. And I've found that we've always been on the other side. What's your take on that? And
it's a very interesting topic, and I think I bring a somewhat unique perspective because one of the reasons that I've been able to become, you know, a good jazz pianist was because I was blessed with a very good ear. Mm. I'm not going to pretend that isn't the case and that I didn't learn a lot from that. But what comes along with that is the time commitment and the work you have to put in to actually write out what you hear. So even given that, that's difficult. But as far as the school of thoughts that are, you know, and different educations out there. I mean, I've been a student at music schools, at conservatories. I've played and performed with faculty in those schools. I've been a student at those schools. I've played in combos at a couple conservatories along with students in their master's program. And all that those schools give you, the best thing they give you is a framework, but it also limits you because you sort of, I found that people who come out of academic music institutions can tend to sound a little bit similar, I guess, and that teachers weren't necessarily approaching each student in an individual manner. So I was able to look back at my education from my own transcriptions, from being able to write down the stuff that I know is important to learn to become a good jazz pianist, and that I know that you guys wouldn't have access to were I not to do that. And then, of course, the good things that come having that structure from, you know, having attended schools. I think from having a good year, writing things down, listening a ton over the years, having formal training, too, lets me take the best of all of those worlds for you. And truth be told, there are a lot of ways to skin a cat, but unfortunately, formal music school is very, very, very expensive.
Yeah.
This is an alternative.
I was just going to ask that because, you know, you talk about that hard period of time. You know, your mom, for the most part, was a single mother with you and your, was it sister or brother?
With my sister, yeah, since I
your
was
sister.
12 and my sister was 15. Yeah.
Right. And, I mean, she still thought it adamant to put you guys through these lessons and pay for these private lessons and then conservatory. I don't know if that's private or public or how much that costs, but it doesn't sound cheap.
No, it's not. I mean, I know that Berklee School of Music does online training. You know, I can ballpark figures, but you're talking many, 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 many thousands of dollars. And certainly over my training, having had private lessons, that's absolutely, you know, in the ballpark. And for many students, it gets into, you know, mid five-figure range as far as what an education would cost you. At the other point, you know, people have statistics out there that say it's 5,000 hours minimum to becoming good or 10,000 hours. So, you know, it's not necessarily money or time. It may be some of both, but let's maximize your time while maybe minimizing your monetary investment since I'm able to put all these things together.
Right. Get the best of both worlds. It's interesting you mentioned that. I wrote a blog post. I think it was in my Michael Jordan mastery method to mastering piano or something like that. But I talked about Malcolm Gladwell in his book Outliers, which kind of documented people that have reached the highest highs of points in different careers and activities, albeit Steve Jobs or the best hockey player or Michael Jordan. And he talks about the 10,000 hour rule, you know, that, you know, to get to mastery of anything or expertise, you know, he posits that it takes 10,000 hours. So you got that time thing. And then obviously you have the money thing. It's interesting you mentioned Berklee. I was like, hush, James, you're giving away the competitor. But really it's not a competitor because there you need financial aid to go to that school. I mean, you're talking our $100 courses and their $7,000 courses. It's a totally different, you know, proposition. But then again, you know, I've checked out some of those online training courses. You know, you can do it without credit. Like if you want college credit, I think it's, you know, a few thousand bucks. If you don't want college credit, just pay a grand. And notice how I say that, just pay a grand, right? And you can just kind of go through it at your, you know, leisure. And it's really the same theory. You get, you know, personalized teacher that grades your work and you can record yourself playing and things like that. But it's interesting, that world, you know, as soon as we talk about jazz, like I couldn't have this conversation if we were talking gospel. It just doesn't exist. I can bring the best, and I have. I brought, you know, Mike Burrell, Jason White, the best players, and that's totally school of hard knock. It's the time part of that ratio, but certainly not the money. I mean, we all learn just, you know, looking over people's shoulders, our ears, you know, just playing in church and you know, the school of hard knock. So it's interesting when I talk to you, you bring a totally different perspective, a perspective of investment taken to get to where you've come from, you know, time, money, parents, sacrifice, and things like that. So talk about why, you know, since jazz, you know, captured your heart, right, junior high, and now mom has you in private lessons, which, how did that work? How did you guys find a teacher? Was it recommended? Did you do that while going to school? Was that a reason you got into the conservatory because you, you know, had built up your chops in jazz? Or so just talk about that period of your life.
Yeah, sure. I mean, high school for me, as far as going to music school, which really, by the way, entailed full-time academics with very serious music on top of it. It wasn't like we weren't doing normal, rigorous high school prep work for college and stuff, which was my ultimate goal anyway. It was interesting, I mean, because I was somewhere where there was a lot of structure, but not necessarily a bunch of jazz, so I had to move somewhere and have that nurtured, and that's where moving high school sort of fit in. They had a jazz program established there, linked with the University of Southern California, and a lot of professors taught at that high school. So some of those academic frameworks were already in play there, but I did sort of keep up private lessons that entire time, and finding teachers is really hard. I think one of the difficult things is knowing if someone knows what they're doing and knowing if they're getting results you know, quickly enough and efficiently enough, and if they're even listening to you, or if they even can listen to you, because even at that time, I mean, I've been taught by a whole lot of people, and I mean from one lesson to hundreds of lessons and everything in between, depending on what I'm looking for, what they can offer, and things like that. And so many times I'd be sitting with someone informally and they'd be playing, you know, and I'd be learning a tune and they'd sit and play it and I'd watch them play it and I'd stop them and go, what did you just do? And they'd go, I don't know, you know, and so that type of frustration started early, you know. Sure, there are transcriptions out there if you know how to read music like I did, so, but in terms of integrating to learn how to play, that resource kind of isn't out there. There's all these discrete parts, you know, go take a lesson, learn some chords, maybe learn a tune. But it's still, I think the perception is that you can do whatever you want in jazz, and you really can. There's a lot of, there's, you know, a lot of structure to it, really, behind the scenes that you have to learn first. So that was the deal. It was a combination of having music curriculum at school, taking some private lessons on top of it.
Wow. And I remember you mentioned, do you mind, like, how much, like, if somebody's looking for a private teacher like that, I mean, jazz instructors aren't cheap. What were you guys paying back then? And we're talking, like, 90s, right? How old are you?
You know,
I'm
not.
28.
I'm 20.
Was this 80s, 90s?
How old are you, Jimmy?
You're 29 now, right? 30?
Yeah, I'm older than 28 and not 30 yet.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, I can tell, sure, inflation has happened over the years, but, you know, going right nowadays is pretty much $100 for a lesson. I don't know, too many people, maybe some college kids would charge less, you know, but if you're near any major city, that's what people are going to be charging. And back then you'd have to scale it for, you know, whatever that would be scaled to.
So
but
maybe like 40,
it's not,
50,
it's not a cheap endeavor, you know, it's just, it never is. But I was at, I don't know that we ever paid less than like 65 or 70, even back when I was a kid. But
funny
not,
how you said
cheap.
not we, your mom, right? Or did you carry a job? I mean, some of us church musicians, we did play in church, so we could kind of use that Sunday pay, whether $50 or something. But I mean, was it really on her, or did you chip in?
I would put it this way. I made some money in high school from playing, certainly, plenty, but it didn't necessarily go straight from my pocket right to the piano of the teacher with whom I was having a lesson.
Got it. Okay, so fast forward. So instead of you taking a career in music or the orchestra or, you know, going to play in Carnegie Hall, you decided to pursue, you know, a career in medicine. So that's when we met. You were at USC, I believe, and you were playing at the Jazz Bakery, which you told me, unfortunately, is not there anymore, which is sad. But I think we, one of our, what, Brian's fiance was there, and said, you gotta talk to this jazz guy. I don't know how she knew you or what was the connection, but, you know, we got you in our office, and we started talking, and that led to Jazz 101, 201, and I remember I coined you as pre-med scholar, you know, stopped what he's doing, and shows you step-by-step how to play jazz, and Jazz 101 was, you know, epic for that. You know, it really opened people up to, you know, the basics of jazz and, you know, 12-bar blues, which is, you know, the foundation. Let Thelonious Monk tell it, you know, it spawned jazz. And so, you know, fast forward, now you're in medical school, right? And what, third year?
That's correct. I'm a third year, so that's starting three quarters of the way through, and that's not including residency training, which is another 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, depending on what you do. So I still have quite a long ways to go.
Right. So all those people, because we, I made a little boo-boo. If you look on the back of Jazz 101 and I believe Jazz 201, I advertised a 301, which we started to shoot, then James, you know, basically had to go up north. You talk about up north in some states, that's just a couple hours away. Up north in California, it's a long state, it's like 7, you know, 8 hours away. So basically, you know, we pretty much put that on hold. So every week, no less than like 2 or 3 people call in, you know, looking at the back of their jazz DVD, wondering where's 301. And, you know, long story short, we just say it's not available yet. And, you know, and people beg us, when is it coming out? And I used to tell people, you know, well, we're, you know, maybe a few more months down the line, because, you know, I was hopeful that we could get you back, but, you know, medical school, I didn't understand how hard it was. I mean, I went to undergrad in law, and I figured, you know, you can get by just, you know, answer whatever you want on the test. But then I thought about it, and I said, yeah, this is medicine. Like, you got people's lives at stake here, so I know it ain't as easy as me getting by, you know, my undergrad. So, you know, I always understood why you stayed away and why you're always too busy. And so getting him back, folks, was like pulling teeth, you know. I got a hold of him, and I said, we got to get back together and do something. So, you know, fast forward. Now you're in medical school. I approached you about this jazz project. Do you remember your initial reaction?
Oh, my gosh. I think, I mean, it was no way. There's no way. It's a full-time job, you know. That's what it takes to, you know, become minimally competent as a doctor, let alone be a good one. And everyone wants to be, I would assume, wants to be the best they can be, including myself. So
I was seen as a distraction, you know, Jermaine calling, and I can be very exciting and persuasive as well, but you guys know James, if you hear him right now, he's a very type A analytical. He'll just tell you, like, no, dude. Just say it how you say it, no. It's kind of awkward. I'm like, nobody ever says no to me, James, you know.
there's no way I can do it.
right. It was like that, and you know, like I do this with Jason White as well. I do it with you know, every once in a while I just kind of, you know, get back in touch with folks, you know, busy folks. I like, you know, hanging around busy, active folks. It's the ones that are pulling at my coattails saying, hey, man, when are we going to do another DVD? I'm like, nah, man. It's the one I want to catch, the ones that, you know, really got it going on and really got the teaching skills, you know, at the top of their craft. And they're, you know, oftentimes they're usually the most busiest. I can't get a hold of Jason White for gospel either, which is understandable. But finally I get a hold of James, and I tell him, no, it's not another DVD. It's something you could do while going to medical school. I was trying to sell it to him. I was like, it's not a DVD. You don't have to come out here. And even a DVD, you know, it's really only a day of work. But the reason he was so hesitant was because I wasn't just talking about, you know, a DVD, you know, but I was talking about taking it to the next level, giving ongoing coaching and like an intensive training. What I had in my mind was something where you take people by the hand and take them through the process as if they were back in your position, back, you know, with mom taking you to lessons, you know, finding, you know, because when I think about jazz, it's not just, you know, play this. It's not just learn these chords. It's like a culture. It's like you need to know who to listen to. You know, you need to know who to go out and follow and transcribe, and maybe who to go check out at this local con. It's a mentoring process. That's why, you know, I really underscore, you know, you know, how hard it is to find teachers, because first of all, you have to, you know, worry about if you found the real deal. You know, anybody can say, oh yeah, I teach piano, but you know, with jazz and even gospel, you know, like a jazz guy, I mean, I wouldn't go to James to learn the kind of gospel that we teach, you know, nor would you want to teach it, right, James? I mean, you even tell us that's a whole nother ballgame, you know. I wouldn't trust James in my hand clapping, foot stomping, shouting church, although he might surprise me. I don't know, you know.
Oh, maybe I'm not going to interrupt. I did a jazz master service in Watts for 4 months years ago.
But you don't know where I grew up. It's nothing. That if you're looking for a program and, you know, song A, B, C, you're not going to find it. They're just going to bust out singing and shouting. But my point is, you know, you find the specialist. And I believe James, when it comes to jazz and bebop and all that stuff that, you know, goes beyond even my reference point, you know, James is the real deal. And that's why, you know, 4 or 5 years, you know, we could have found somebody in that time span, but I wanted to wait on this guy here because, you know, I want him to finish what he started. So, James, can you talk a little bit about this new project, this idea of ongoing coaching, why it's needed, you know, why it's needed beyond a DVD? Sure, start with Jazz 101, learn the blues, 201, chords and licks and tricks. But this idea of ongoing training, intensive training as well, homework, that kind of thing, you know, why is that needed? And what was our approach with this new project, or I should say your approach?
I think one of the best things that I took away from having been formally trained, i.e. taking lessons every week when I was a kid, and even through high school, and even sometimes recently, I'll call up a Grammy-winning jazz pianist and, you know, offer him a couple $100 to sit down with them for a period of time, was that the structure of learning that way after I've gone through all the different ways to learn, I think is best. It doesn't mean that you have to sit down and pay for expensive lessons every week, but it does mean that smaller chunks broken up into a little bit of a longer span of time is a better way to learn. It gives you time to digest. And from a curriculum design standpoint, which I spent many, 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 many hours on, I mean months, many months on for you guys to figure out the order of things and the correct progression, and thinking back about how I learned and how, if I were starting over, how I would do it, led me to basically align with you, saying, well, I'm glad that we need some more regular interaction, because that's what I would be looking to do, rather than trying to cram as much as you can into 4 or 5 hours. And if you guys have a 101 or the 201 disc especially was that way, I can sit back and say, let's get the best X number of concepts or licks or runs or chord voicings or progressions or melodies or harmonies or any other concepts into this 20, 30, 40 minute, some type of smaller period of time, which really simulates a weekly lesson. You show up, you can say, there's something I want to learn, or you kind of know what you're going to learn, and it's taught to you, and then you go back and practice, and then you build, and it's all building blocks, and it all progresses from, you know, things that are more basic to things that are not as basic to things that, you know, I learned more recently than not recently, I guess I would say, or things that I had to open up Keyboard Magazine articles from, the guy used to lead the USC jazz program, wrote an article on something once, and I kept it for like 15 years because I couldn't find that information everywhere. So it was two things. It was acknowledging that structure and progression is what's best, but also my, you know, continuing desire to give back, but also kind of organize my thoughts and disseminate that in an understandable way, in an easy to learn way, and in an efficient way that's still interesting and that keeps you guys excited that you're practicing and, you know, keeping you motivated to come back for the next one as well, because I think that some of that can be lost sometimes.
Absolutely. So rather than, you know, giving them the information all at once and, you know, them figuring it out, and, you know, and what comes with that is usually getting discouraged along the way. James realized, you know, in this format, you know, breaking things up into these digestible chunks and giving you the right information in the right order. I underscore that. The right information, first of all, because there's a lot of information out there, and there's a lot of things, and there's definitely a filtration process needed, you know, especially starting at this stage. You know, kids starting to play music, you know, can go down a longer path, but adults starting to learn music, you really need it, you know, skimmed down. You need just the necessary elements, you know, take out all the fluff, right? And so you need the right information, and then you also need it in the right order. So this is a system, a coaching system over a span of time where you get digestible chunks every week that are building blocks, not scattered information. Or, you know, the videos that we've been doing during this period that we've launched this program, we haven't given much details about it, but, you know, those are just examples. You know, those are more so different ideas, but, you know, when you get into the Jazz Intensive Training Center, you'll see how just connected everything is, you know, starting from week one and building on that and referencing past weeks and the information learned there. And I really think that it's the hand-holding that a lot of people have been looking for in jazz, you know, because, you know, we have a lot of resources. And let's face it, our jazz department and our salsa, you know, really struggles because we've only released two resources, you know, versus, I don't know, 20 in our other category, gospel. So, We've had a lot of people since that just want more. They want, what's the next? You've teased me. You've gotten me started. I'm grateful for what I've learned, but what's next? And I believe the patience, to wait for James, wait for the right opportunity, because right now it's like third year, so he's, studying and taking tests. It gives him an opportunity to do these videos, at night, and, he's worked that part out. But I'm glad that this was the next thing we were able to bring you, this mentoring process, and that's why we call it the Jazz Intensive Training Center. So, James, could you give us an example, one of the weeks? I don't know, what you have planned or what you've already recorded or, just an idea, something that someone could say, that makes sense. That's something that would be really helpful to learn. Because when I strategized this with James, I wanted to make sure that everything we prepared for you, I don't know if James remembers this, but I said basically teach me. Well, even before me, take it from, I want someone starting out to be able to understand it. So don't assume concepts, cover intervals if you have to cover this, but teach someone who's, playing, but really just wants to build an appreciation and understanding, what you guys do when you're just playing licks and never running out. It seems like your mind is just thinking so fast. What are the techniques and tricks underlying that kind of stuff? Sometimes it's so fast it looks like random notes, but I know you got molds in mind. You're thinking of molds. Sometimes you're pulling tricks out of your hat. Sometimes, you got this that you transcribe from, a classic recording. I said put yourself in those shoes and really give us that process, of thinking. And so can you give us an example, James, of just, what someone should look to learn upon signing up for the Jazz Intensive?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. For the way that I approach design and curriculum, and I haven't taken it lightly, and I have spent a whole bunch of time figuring out the best way to go about that, was trying to make it easy to learn and understandable and efficient, as I said before, but also making things broadly applicable. So before I get to my example, I want to mention that if I teach a chord voicing, I'm going to tell you that it works over what we're currently learning about, which may be an entire week or two on major chords and every way you could alter major chords. C, E, G is a major chord. C, E, G, B is a major seventh chord, and we'll go through all those things. But what happens once you need more notes? You've got a right hand, so what do you do with that? What are all the different ways to alter that? And that's really where, for me, that's like bread and butter jazz. But you need a foundation to get to that point. So, we'll go through all the different qualities of seventh chords, really. We'll go through majors and minors and half diminished, which are minor seven flat fives. We'll go through diminished. We'll go through some whole tone. We'll go through dominant seventh chords and talk about what they are and how you use them and how you voice chords for them. And then what do you do in your right hand? And everything always ties together. When I can reference something earlier, I'll always do that. I'll always show you multiple ways to think about it, because I know, still being a student almost pushing 30, and as I will be one for a long time, I know that sometimes the way that people present information doesn't speak to you, or you just can't digest it in the way that they tell you. And that's a bottleneck, and that's not good. So, if I can teach something different ways, I'll mention it, and I'll say, if this doesn't work for you, try it this way. So it's a foundation type of thing. You're going to learn all the different type of chords you need, which would eventually really let you almost read a jazz chart just from looking at the chords and where they arrive. And this, and even putting stuff in your ear, the sounds of chords, why does it sound this way? The hows and the whys are important, so I don't forget that. But the real goal here is to get you guys playing well, quickly and getting you excited about it. So some of the stuff, there is a lot of sort of, there can be, this is how it is and this is why it is, but there's plenty of, check this out, this is a great lick. And there's a lot of things that go together that way. So it's a real combination of building the foundation, getting in some licks at the same time, understanding scales and modes and how chords function, with the end result, starting to think about how you put all of those things together, and you can play progressions and tunes and hear how they work and find commonalities. And whenever I can break something down and make it easier, I always do. I mean, you may not know how to play an A, but if you've ever played an A flat or B flat, you're only a half step away from playing in that more difficult key, at least for pianists out there. If you play guitar, that's not the case. But so it's a lot of different things, but the main thing is to build a base. I mean, you can't build a house if it's not on a foundation. So if it builds that, it keeps you guys interested with some really easy to learn, really impressive. Sometimes I might say flashy. Flashy's okay here and there, but not too much. And really easy to understand, apply, and remember. And that's a key for me, too, is the challenge in jazz is how you can combine what you want your hands to do and what you hear in your head. And resolving those two things is the most difficult task that you have. And my goal is to make that as efficient and easy of a process for you. And I really think that I only arrived at because of the variety of education that I've had. And I'm really happy to share stuff with you guys. So tons of different topics, just tons. There's plenty of licks in there. There's plenty of things you'll be able to sit down with right away and say, check this thing out. I learned this in 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Or I just learned how to play 15 different dominant seventh chords, and I know how to remember them, and they all sound different, and I know when to use them. And that's just, in my opinion, it's hard to get sort of the whole enchilada, I guess you'd say, and that's kind of it. I really try to not leave any stone unturned, but I'm also not looking to give too much information at a time, and I think that's really why breaking it down into smaller chunks really works. I can say, here's three really good licks this week. Here's who played them. Here's how you use them. Here's when you want to play them. Or here's a chord voicing. Here's four chords you can play this over. And that's what really condenses the learning process for you and gets you having fun.
Man, I agree. That's exactly what you did in the videos I've shared so far. I mean, people have loved them. For every Facebook comment, I mean, add 5 and 6 email replies to that, and people calling in excited. You know, whenever we release something or get buzz going, I mean, it just creates this new dynamic. I love it. It's been happening ever since 2002. Something new, you know, there's a sure way to get the phone ringing, emails popping in more than they normally do, and just buzz, you know. It's doing something like this. And ever since I released the first video, people absolutely loved it. And I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm even trying to figure out the key. Maybe it's just because, you know, your tone and just you're kind of like no nonsense, I guess. You know, somebody like me, I already know my weakness. I can talk up a storm. And by the time I've covered major chord, I've probably covered a million other things. And you really do have to follow me. And I repeat a lot for that reason. I know I like to talk. I know I like to give a lot of examples. But you on the other end have a totally different style. No nonsense. You'll say, hey, here's what you need to learn. Here's the chords that go with it. By the way, here's another chord. And I think that suits a lot of people out there, because just looking at the comments and stuff, people really thought you were very effective in how you explained the licks and how you took them to different chords and keys. And pretty much in the Jazz Intensive Training Center, you know, I'd say it'd be more of the same of that. More of that. And a longer progression of those kinds of trainings, you know, indigestible, you know, chunks. You know, and he even gives homework. I asked you to talk a little bit about the structure of the videos. You know, he lists things on what he calls his blackboard. You know, it really is an e-learning environment. You know, you really feel like you're going to be like in an online training class with James, you know. I should call him the doc. I mean, when can people start calling you doctor? Oh, legally, I really can't. I really can't. Well, I can't call you a medical. I mean, I call myself the ear doctor. I don't know. In your school, I get in trouble for that. I mean, but it's a play on words. I always put quotes around it. But I guess we won't call you doctor, because that actually can be misconstrued. And they say he was out there calling himself a medical doctor long before he got his whatever you get. So we'll refrain from calling him the doctor yet. But, you know, five years, if he's still around here, you know, we'll be saying Dr. Rubel one day, Dr. Rubel. what if he's still willing. I mean, he'll have patience and stuff. If I wasn't able to find him now, I probably won't find him then. So if you want James's training, you better get it now while he's semi, you know, right there in the middle of things. But back to the training center, can you talk a little bit about the structure? You know, there's homework some weeks. You know, there's written. I said written. I'm back east now. There's written documents. Mm-hmm. And things that go with it, sometimes reference, charts, sometimes transcription, sometimes using the power of our own song robot software. You know, James may record a small little lick that he taught you or a couple and, you know, release the MIDI file or something, you know. These are just possibilities into the future, you know, in future lessons or things like that. Just, you know, basically giving you all the resources that help to make this, you know, very effective process, right? I mean, you're looking at the end result, right? What is the end result for your students that you wish for them?
To play confidently and to be happy with what you're doing. And that's a different thing for different people, but I am giving so much information in a digestible way that I really believe that there aren't going to be, you know, any people out there who would go through it and not come out the other side a much better player and being able to understand what they're doing. And, you know, I forgot what movie I saw last week, but someone sat down and they were playing piano around the holidays. And that's the stuff really as you get older that's really when music matters. I mean, sure, plenty of people do become professional and play in, you know, these world-renowned music halls and centers and stuff, but to be able to sit down and play is the real gift, and that's what jazz allows you to do. So that's sort of my main goal, is you want to be able to think of something and play it, or maybe you can hear something and you can maybe sound it out and take something that I taught you and run with it, but it is that foundation to learn. And Jermaine's making fun of my seriousness a little bit, and I'm a pretty easygoing person, but yours in medical school will make you serious, and having grown up in a family that really valued education will make you a little bit serious. But I do take music very seriously, you know, and I think I don't really sit down without a purpose. So I do smile, I do laugh. You know, I do try to sound as excited as I can, and I always am, but was not blessed with a voice with as much inflection as Jermaine has. But
hey, I try to. In certain situations, I try to downplay it, but I can't. I like, you know, if I'm talking to a contractor, I'm like, when will the house be finished? And they're like, man,
right,
cut it out. You know, go back to, you know, changing your voice and stuff. And I just, I don't know. But I say that. I only said that to say that if they're looking for straight to the point, you know, I won't say no BS, but that's really what it is. It's just the fluff is out, and that's what I believe you get. I mean, what are the duration of those clips on YouTube? We placed 12 minutes. I mean, that was full 12 minutes. You weren't telling stories and stuff, and there will be times for that. I know you'll go into your experience box and pull out some stories that are relevant and stuff. But really, it's like you pack. If it's going to be a 30-minute lesson this week, you're packing as much in it. If it's 40 minutes, you're packing. And if it's 50 minutes, you know, in James' time, that's a lot. That's just a lot of information there, you know, because you see what he can accomplish in 12 minutes, 10 minutes. You know, many of you guys were helped by those small chunks. I don't think a weekly lesson goes below 20 or 30 minutes or average about that, right?
Yeah, I think to go back to your prior question, first, talk about structure a little bit. You're always going to have an introductory screen that tells you what you're doing. I'm always going to comment before I play most of the time about what we're doing, why we're doing it, what we had learned before we came to this new concept, what maybe we might learn afterwards. So you have a context for everything. Something that's been really hard about medical education for me is that a lot of stuff you just get taught in this little box, and you sort of don't have an overall understanding of why it is the way it is or how that's actually going to look in a real human being rather than a textbook. And that's one of the many reasons why medical education is so long. But what I've tried to do is give it structure. So there's an introductory screen. If I can notate, if something is difficult, it needs some fingering, I'll notate that for you guys. I'll let you know when there's a new concept coming up. Often I will do a review screen, and it'll sit on that review screen for a minute or two. You know, I don't know if Jermaine has other plans to build in any more technology. I know we'll use some song robot technology in this, but the review screen is important and the homework screen is important. It brings back together what we did that day. So I did want to say that, and then I actually forgot your question, Jermaine, if you could repeat it.
You know, I'm so spontaneous, I don't even remember, but it probably had to do with, and I was talking about you being straight to the point, no fluff, and I know that if it's 10 minutes, you're going to maximize it. If it's 40 minutes, you're going to maximize it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lengthwise, they completely vary. I don't know that anything will ever go under 20 minutes, and very few things will probably go over 45 minutes. So it really depends on where concepts fall. You know, if I don't have anything more to add on something, I'm not going to add something that isn't related. I think that can be really confusing and make something too discrete. So I'll wait for the next time to do it, and maybe the next one will be longer. Or maybe you'll have three 45-minuters in a row because the concept takes that long to learn. And that's not even that long. I mean, I spent so many hours on certain things that were difficult, and I'm really happy and blessed to be able to sit down and think about sort of the easiest and most applicable ways to teach them. So that's what you're looking at for structure generally, and that's what you're looking at for time frame.
Okay, and this is maybe a different question, but how would you compare these weekly lessons to 75 a week, $100 a week lessons? I mean, obviously, let's be real and upfront. James, other than the live events, there will be live interaction where you can ask James questions and he'll critique you. If you want to put your phone up to the piano, you know, in these live sessions, he'll be able to critique you in that way. It's certainly a group setting. So, you know, it's not one-on-one. So I dare not, you know, charge you $100 a week or $400 a month or anything like that. So I always take that into consideration. But, you know, there are some benefits for electronic learning. When you meet with somebody live, the tendency or the potential for them to brush over things really fast that you didn't get down, especially if it's new to you. I mean, things look foreign when they play, and you know, and sometimes you forget them by the time you get home, or you know. But having something documented, I think the best of both worlds would be taking a video camera to your private teacher if you're going to pay $100 a week. Bring your video camera, turn it into a course like that you can go home and rewind and stuff. But I only say that to say you got that part, the documentation, something written in stone where you never have to tell James, slow down, back up, because you can do it for him. You can move his lips in reverse if you want to. So I always, that's one of the key benefits of individual e-learning, the way that, you know, we've done it over the years. You can do it as long as you want. You're not on the clock. And as long as it's taught to you in a concise, clear manner, like the videos you've seen online, I mean, there shouldn't be a person out there that didn't catch those licks, those chord progressions. I mean, yeah, you have to practice them and you have to get good and slow them down, but there shouldn't be a person out there under the sound of my voice that didn't get that written down and knows what to do. You know, that's half of the battle, you know, the knowledge, knowing what to do. Doing it, yeah, the body has to catch up with the mind. Your mind's infinitely more powerful, you know, but the body, you know, has to kind of be trained and molded and stuff, and that's fine. With e-learning, the information is there. You'll never miss it. You never have to worry about somebody going too fast or it being said and gone forever. You know, that's one of the benefits. But can you draw on some of the connections or how it compares to, you know, live training or $100 an hour training and things like that?
I would say that it's more condensed. And what I would say, you know, I've been bringing back the word structure a lot, or framework a lot, because a lot of jazz instruction live one-on-one is informal, and that's fine, but it ends up taking a long time. You know, you may play a tune with someone and maybe your teacher has two pianos, or maybe there's one or a keyboard and you're sharing one, and they'll play a bass line, you can play on top, but you work through a tune together and that's 15 minutes. And you don't even have any feedback on that. You just played and they'll look at you and they'll go, yeah, man. Or they'll listen to you play and they'll give you some feedback, but it's really hard to nail down concrete things to improve. And that's what I like about the online stuff, is I can really tailor and be very specific about concepts and what they are, you know, rather than that sounded really good, or, you know, somebody once said to me, think of the piano as an orchestra, you know, and I'm like, think of the piano as a 104 instrument orchestra? How do I do that? You know, and I was like, you have to be kidding me. I just paid you for this. But the idea, you know, the idea was correct in practice, but it just wasn't communicated very well. So you get clarity, you get structure, and you don't get someone else who's going to judge you, because I can't hear you practicing and I can't hear you playing. I have the ability to edit stuff out. Not that I miss keys very often, but, you know, Jermaine, you know, we're not perfect. Every once in a while you'll flub a note. But ego really gets in the way of learning jazz. It really, really does. It replaces focus, and you don't have to worry about someone else being in front of you. I mean, here's an example. I play a Christmas party every year, and my classical piano teacher, who I'm still very good friends with, I mean, I consider her family, she comes every year. And I still, I'm like, in the back of my head, I know it's like, this is someone who trained me. She's going to be listening if I'm using good touch. Throw all that out the door. Here's the information I want you to learn. You can digest it in the way that you like. You can stop it. You can interrupt me to stop me and play it 15 times if that's what you want to do. You know, when you go for a live lesson, you're there for the time period, and that's it. You know, so if you want a smaller chunk, you can't do it. If it's a short lesson for a week and it's 20 minutes or 25 minutes, you can break it down and do 5 minutes and go prep some dinner, or 10 minutes, or, you know, you can look at something in between a TV commercial if you want. And I've had live teaching, and I continue to have electronic teaching as technology gets better and better with medical school and lectures. And that's a really important thing, to be able to stop and think about, or write something down if you want to keep a notebook of your favorite things. And so that's what I would talk about, is that it's a structure that's uninterrupted by a back and forth in-person human interaction, which means maybe being unfocused, maybe talking about, you know, I've been told some pretty amazing stories by some of these teachers and these jazz cats I've had over the years interaction with, but I'm also looking at my watch and I'm like, if you don't go an hour and 20 minutes because we talked for 20 minutes.
Yeah, you're a kid,
you know,
though.
What am I getting my money for? You know, but even at 15 sometimes.
You
know,
yeah, you were
man.
Sharp. You were still looking at your watch, huh? Like, I know I'm a kid,
well,
but you better hurry up.
No. So it's structure, you know, it's something that's focused, and this is the meat and potatoes, and here it is. And so you're not going to have that. And you're not going to have someone judging you, and you're not going to have to be nervous or any of the other emotions you might experience when you're learning, you know, music that requires a lot of improvisation. But what I try to do is teach that to you, and you're going to get that intellectual side of understanding what you're doing, instead of, well, that's what this is, and good luck. You know, I'm not going to just push you out of the nest.
Right.
Everything builds upon itself. So.
Right. And if you do want feedback, I mean, the brave ones among us, you'll be able to call in, similar to this. I actually use similar technology. If you want to listen online, if you don't want to call in, you don't have to. But you'll be able to call in, which there's a link, listen in, and then you click on it. The number's always shown. There's local numbers as well for every major metropolitan area. And you can say, I want you guys to check out last week's lesson. I've done it. And then here and there, James can't see you. He can only hear you. You can make up a name if you want. You can say, this is, you know, whoever, you know. So, you know, it takes that embarrassment out, and you can play it. And if you don't feel like doing that, you can listen to others and get value out of just our interactions, listening and talking and answering online questions. So I always like that live group element, you know, and we'll do that anywhere from, you know, one or two times a month as well, you know, kind of congregate, and everybody's going through, you know, the lessons you know, and asking anything that pops up, you know, that's relevant. So we also keep that live element, but in a group setting, so in an anonymous setting as well, because we don't force you to put your name. So no question's a dumb question, none of that, none of the group peer pressure kind of stuff that you'd get in live settings. All right, so you have something to add, James?
Well, I was going to mention that when it's relevant or when it's available, I try to let Jermaine know so that when this content gets posted for you guys, that there's things on YouTube to watch. You know, if there's a classic recording of something, or you can hear an example of something I did, if it happened to pop into my head while I was teaching, or even while I was driving, you know, or in the grocery store, I'd say, oh, they got to listen to this example on these tunes. So you can go on YouTube and you can watch it, and you should be able to hear it pretty apparently. You know, and that's kind of a goal too, is when you're listening to jazz, to be like, oh, I know what that is. You know, James taught me that, or I got a little piece of that. So there's more here, you know, just than the online content.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think so many people are on. I'm getting this HTTP 1.1 server too busy, so I can't even go to the 20 questions I have here. I wasn't going to go through all of them, but, you know, we have like a few minutes left. I wanted to cover some of them, but this thing is not letting me. I'm going to try to log out and log back in, but I don't want to take credit for killing the servers. This is not my service, but, you know, we can.
I actually had 1,000 people calling, Jeremy, and I called all my friends.
Really? Okay.
No, I'm totally kidding. No way. It's all hopefully students out there.
Right. But, I mean, I did. I remember some of the questions. I like to read them exactly, but don't worry. When we do our live trainings, we don't have this many people, obviously, because it's a smaller group, and nor will we accept. I'll figure out with James how many we'll be accepting into the program, but it won't be everybody, nor is it for everybody as well, because we, you know, we have our gospel thing over there. This is specifically for people that are interested and really intrigued by jazz, love the sound, always dreamed and wished they could play it. James mentioned that. I always say this because we all have movies playing in our heads, and movies inspire us, and we always just have these things playing in our head what we want life to be like. And nobody that's a musician does not have that sitting by the fireplace, you know, playing a piano while their kids, grandkids, loved ones, and friends are around, just laughing, having a good time. And that's what I, you know, holidays are coming up. That's what I get. And I got kids, you know, getting old enough to sing, at least my oldest daughter. And, you know, I just picture sitting around, and it does not be a baby grand or, you know, an upright, a keyboard, just anything, you know, just sitting around and having a good time with the music. That's what it's really about. You know, at the end of the day, modes and scales and numbers and intervals and all that stuff, what it really leads to is just being able to enjoy, you know, this thing that we all love, music. And in this club, the emphasis is just jazz, you know. So for jazz lovers out there, this is for you. So I do encourage you, when the time, I don't even have an exact date, but it will be posted. And I'll probably put the recording up of this, and underneath you should see, you know, pertinent information. But as soon as we open the doors and as soon as we give the number of students that we'll be accepting for this, if this speaks to you and if this is something you've been waiting for, if you were one of the people that have called us asking for this, it is now here. This is the answer. And so I would encourage you to be in the front of the line and be very decisive about it. Because the doors will close. I don't know when, but when we reach that number, just like we did in the initial launch of GMTC, we close it. And there's many reasons for that. Number one, with the live interaction, we try to keep it to a minimum. I remember at our height of GMTC, like, we had just let 1,000 people in the door, and we already had like 1,000 or something like that. The Q&A call, even though we thought we could handle it, we must have gotten 80, 90 questions, and it was like a 3-4 hour Q&A call. And I don't want to do that to people in New York. I mean, having to listen to midnight, you can listen to recording, sure enough, but we want to keep it small and we want to be able to listen to real examples if people want to put their phone up to their piano and really get that feedback, you know. And we want to be able to have, you know, the interactive parts in the club as well as technical things. We're dealing with video, and it behooves us to keep this very small and intimate so that we don't have server busy problems like I'm having tonight, letting the whole world on this call versus a select few. So this is something very exclusive and not for everybody. The pricing, don't worry, when I say tuition, I'm not talking about Berkeley. I'm not talking anything compared to what James paid to learn this information. And I'm not even comparing to a private teacher. It's going to be very affordable. I'd say under $10 you know, a week or nine. I don't have it exactly nailed down, but the tuition for it is for the people that are accepted in the program and get in is going to be very reasonable compared to what you'd have to do in other settings. So I believe it's for whoever, you know, is serious about their jazz studies. And if you've gotten much out of the video so far, just imagine what you'll get studying with James in an ongoing fashion. So I'm still, while I'm talking, I was saying and ah because I'm trying to get these questions up as well, but it doesn't look like I'm going to get them up. There is a chat. We'll do it this way. If you guys want to ask a question, there's a chat room. You have to click on the left link. It won't, don't worry, it won't disconnect you from hearing us, but there is a chat room. You can click on chat right there in the upper left. And you can enter your username, and if you have a question before we get off, I'd say another 5 minutes or so, you can ask the question, because I can't do it from the regular question box for some reason. I'm just getting a server too busy. You know, this doesn't happen often, but it's on all the pages. I don't even think I'll be able to stop the recording. The recording may be, you know, 3 hours of silence at the end, because I usually have to stop the recording and all. But, James, I guess I'll say while we're waiting for that, any closing comments? I mean, before you say that, I want to tell you, right, check your email, look out for the release date. Most likely it'll be a very minimal cost to allow you to try it and check it out without much investment. You know, I'll do maybe a 2-week introductory trial period where you can actually take the lessons for almost no cost and see if it's right for you. I always like to do that rather than, you know, having, you know, people risk, even though what we'll be asking for will hardly be anything compared to the value. But, you know, most likely it'll be something very reasonable to get started. And so all you have to do is really look out for the dates coming very soon. And in the meantime, James, what would you tell somebody, you know, thinking about this opportunity?
You know, I'd say if, you know, as you said, Jermaine, if it appeals to you, it's something you've considered, if you're into jazz or even if you're into more popular music, I mean, I can tell you this, I've been able to branch out from jazz, and I don't often work outside of jazz, but certainly, gosh, I jammed with a rock guitarist last week, and the only reason why I could was because of jazz, because you understand what's going on, and you know chords and progressions and scales and some of the intellectual things. But what was good about that experience was sitting down and playing with him, not the intellectual part of it. So that's the end goal. If that's your goal, to sit down and play and to learn jazz, you know, this is definitely the program for you. I put in so much time into it, a lot of time and effort figuring out what went right for me with all of my teaching that I've had and what didn't work so well. And the stuff that, you know, didn't work well for me isn't anything that you guys will ever have to deal with. You're only going to get the best part. So, you know, I would really invite all of you guys to try it as well. You know, Jermaine, I don't, you know, you mentioned you might be giving away some more content or videos up front. Definitely check it out then, because there's lots to learn. There's lots to know, but the way that you can digest it in small pieces, I think, makes it fun and easy to learn and is going to keep you coming back for more. So, you know, I feel very privileged to be able to share my information with you guys. I've always been someone to give back and been very thankful for my experiences in life. So if you want to be a part of that and you want to learn jazz, you know, I wholeheartedly, I invite you guys to do that.
Absolutely. And here's a question I have, since I'm being emailed by people. This service is definitely packed out right now. It might not just be me. My ego tells me
I can't get in either. Yeah, I can't get into this. I just tried to log in. Yeah,
so it's packed out. I know it's not just us, but, you know, we do carry a punch. I'm just playing. But let's see. My last question, I guess, that comes to mind. We have a big gospel audience. Do they stand to benefit from adding this jazz component to their studies? I said this a long time ago. Jazz is a thing. I guess you'd call it a noun, right? Right, Mr. Academic? What do you call it? Academic?
Jazz would be a proper noun, I suppose. So it's not a Scrabble word, maybe.
But what I say with that is it's not only a noun, it's an adjective when you put it in front of other genres. You know, a gospel musician will say, make that jazzy, you know. Man, he plays jazzy, she plays jazzy, or, you know, it's that thing that it not only stands by itself, but you can mesh it with these other genres to get something, you know, very unique. So just maybe in closing, talk a little bit about why a gospel person would want to stretch out and get this jazz education to then not only be able to act in a jazzy setting in and of itself, but to bring that back to gospel and church settings.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say, first and foremost, you want to be the best you can be, but, you know, when you look at, I kind of liken it to an artist or something who's got his or her easel and his paints, and if you don't have all the paint, you can't completely express yourself. So maybe you have half of them, but you don't have pastels, or maybe you have pastels, but you do need some black or white or gray in there also, maybe, you know, whatever it might be. So as an analogy, that's the way I think about it. But in regards to church music, I have passing familiarity with it. You know, Jermaine wouldn't come to me for gospel, but I've certainly learned a lot of it. Some of my favorite jazz pianists are actually rooted in that and not in classical music or other musics. But what it does is expand your understanding and gives you a lot more things to play. So when people say that's a jazzy, I'll show you what that is. I'll give you different runs that they're not gospel runs. They're not gospel licks. They're jazz licks, but they fit. You know, if you've got G flat major, you've got some really great gospel stuff that Jermaine or John or, you know, whoever else works with GMTC can tell you, but I can actually expand that even more for you guys. And it doesn't sound out of place. Because, you know, jazz and church and being celebratory and praise and being thankful for what we have, all of these things are kind of intertwined together. So I think in certain ways they're almost extensions of each other. And my jazz playing has certainly made my gospel playing better and the other way around. You know, it gives me a richness and a depth and a roundness to my sound, having learned some gospel music. At the same time, you just have a lot more variety to speak with. So gospel-wise, chord-wise, you know, articulating things and expanding upon your ideas and altering things. That's the main thing with jazz, is there's a lot of different combinations, and that's what makes jazz jazz. You know, as I said before, it's not just major. How many different ways can you play that major? And that's when someone goes, oh, that's jazzy. And most of the time, and I'll show you this, you guys are going to be so surprised how simple a lot of these things are. You're one note away from making something jazzy. Maybe it's a half step. Maybe it's altering one note in a four-note chord. And all of a sudden, it opens up that whole new world for you.
Wow.
And that's the sound that attracted me to it. That's what keeps me excited teaching you guys, and that's what I encourage you to explore, and it'll make whatever other type of music you play, you know, sound even better.
All right. Well, thank you, James, and for everybody listening, we've come down to the end. We just won't be able to do questions. I can't even get to the queue, but we've exhausted a lot of time here, and I think we've given out some good information about the program and have caught everybody up who didn't know who James was. And we really do appreciate you guys for listening out there and being a part of this call. Look check your email, look for some more information because it will be coming soon. And another training video that I'm just going to put out there will be coming very soon, probably by the end of this week. James has yet another concept to show you. So we'll get out this recording of this call first, and then some other, you know, really good details about this program and how you can be first in line, and then we'll get out the final training video and you know, and a date for you guys, and I'm very, very excited. It's not often that I can bring you guys a new resource, nor do we come out with things a lot. But when we do, it's usually revolutionary and groundbreaking, and I'm so excited to finally be able to bring this kind of mentoring and coaching to the jazz enthusiasts out there. And James is your guy, and thank him. You know, I've been after him for a long time, but finally, and I think it's, you know, the timing, you know, just couldn't work out better. So when you get in there and you get interacting with him, you'll just see how insightful and how much of a help he can be to your playing if he hasn't already been. So thank you guys for listening on. Stay tuned for more details. Thank you, James, again for being on this call, and on behalf of everybody else, we thank you, and we look forward to learning from you and seeing what you've got prepared. So thank you all, and I'm Jermaine Griggs signing off. James Rule, but remember, if you can hear it, you can play it.